Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. When I give healing to Israel, then revealed is the iniquity of Ephraim and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have wrought falsehood, and a thief doth come in, stripped off, hath a troop in the street. The Lord is continuing to prophesy through Hosea that he is going to punish the kingdom of Israel and the tribe of Ephraim, which is involved in the sins of Israel. Hosea lived in the territory of Ephraim. He also lived in the kingdom of Israel. At this point, Israel was split into two kingdoms. There was the 10 tribes called the kingdom of Israel, and they had their own rebel king. And then there was the house of Judah, which was the other kingdom, and that had the true king that should have been king over all 12 tribes, but the house of Judah only had a kingship over Judah and Levi because the other 10 tribes were in rebellion to the Lord. This is long after King David's time, because when King David was king, he was king over all 12 tribes, and so was his son Solomon. But this is toward the end of the history of the kings of Israel. Hosea is prophesying at that time. This is also several hundreds of years before Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel's time. So Hosea and his life are prophesying to his people that the Lord is going to punish Israel through the Babylonians, who are going to overtake Israel, and the Syrians as well. Samaria is the capital city of the kingdom of Israel, and it was a completely pagan capital. They were committing human sacrifice, temple prostitution, and all kinds of other sins in the name of fake gods. The Lord says a thief is going to come in and strip them naked. This thief is the pagan nations that are going to come against them and defeat them. This is going to happen to discipline the people. God always disciplines his children. When they're deep in sin and rebellion, then he lets them suffer the consequences of their sin so that they will repent. 2. And they do not say to their heart that all their evil I have remembered. Now compassed them have their doings. Over against my face they have been. The Lord says that the people don't believe that he's watching them and that he sees their sin. They don't believe that he'll remember all of their evil deeds, but he will. He also says, they have been against my face, which means they are in defiance against him. There's a lot of Christians today who are the same way. They don't believe that God can see their sin. They believe that false doctrine that our Heavenly Father is blind, deaf, and dumb, and that just because his son died on the cross, that he only looks at his son and ignores our sin. That is a doctrine of demons. It's not found anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but there's a lot of Christians today who believe that God cannot see their sin because he only looks at his son on the cross. Well, his son isn't on the cross anymore. Jesus only died once. He's not going to get up on that cross a second time or a third time or a hundredth time for every time that we sin. In Hebrews it says, if you turn back to your sins, then it's as if you're trying to crucify Jesus again because you're believing that he's going to get up on that cross for you again, and he isn't. He won't be crucified a second time. Once was enough. That was enough for us to repent and receive deliverance and the born-again life. So if we're not receiving the born-again life because we're rebellious and we love our sin, then there is no more sacrifice for us. That's what Hebrews tells us. It says if you expect Jesus to get back up on that cross, he's not going to do it. So there are Christians today who believe that God ignores their sin, just like there were Israelites in Hosea's time that believed the very same thing, and they were wrong. God says, I'm watching and I'm keeping careful track of all of your sins. 3. With their wickedness they make glad a king, and with their lies princes. This could be a reference to the kings that were murdered in Hosea's time in order for somebody else to become king. Through intrigues and treachery, they would get rid of a king that they didn't want. Even though the whole kingdom of Israel was in rebellion to the Lord and they didn't recognize the king of Judah as their king, the Lord still punished them for not even recognizing the rebellious king as their king. In the house of Israel, in that kingship, it had started out as Benjamite kings. Then somebody killed one of them, and then they had a king from the tribe of Issachar. And then somebody killed one of them, and then it went back to being Benjamite kings. And then somebody killed them, and it went to another tribe, and on because of all of the killings and treachery. 4. All of them are adulterers, like a burning oven of a baker. He ceaseth from stirring up after kneading the dough till it's leavening. This is a metaphor. The Lord is saying the Israelites lust after the sinful lifestyle, and they pursue it with lust and passion. They were physically committing adultery among themselves, but they were also committing spiritual adultery, which is idolatry against the Lord when you worship false gods. And he says that they are burning as bread in an oven with lust. And in the New Testament, leaven is like baking powder. It makes bread rise, but it also represents sin. They have a lot of leaven in their lives. 5. A day for our king. Princes have polluted themselves with the poison of wine. He hath drawn out his hand with scorners. This could be a reference to the fact that the kings of Israel didn't last very long. Because of treachery and intrigues, some of them only lasted for a few years, which in God's eyes is like one day. And it's saying that these kings are polluted with wine. They like to get drunk and practice sinful behaviors. And they eat with scorners. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Do not sit at a table with mockers or scorners." In other words, don't be friends with people who make fun of other people. And in wicked circles, this always happens. They're putting other people down and they're making fun of people. But the kings of Israel would sit and eat with scorners and listen to scorners. 6. For they have drawn near, as an oven is their heart, and they're lying in wait all the night. Sleep doth their baker. Morning, he is burning as a flaming fire. This metaphor means that even at nighttime, they have lust in their hearts to practice sin. And in the morning, they're burning with lust. And this could be not only sexual lust, but also lust for power and money and domination and control and lust for material things. Lust covers a wide variety of sins. 7. All of them are warm as an oven, and they have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. There is none calling upon me among them. The Lord says that these people don't pray to me. They don't ask me questions. They don't seek what my will is. They don't repent of their sins or glorify me in any way. Instead, they just backstab and assassinate anybody that they don't like, and that's why their kings keep falling. In the kingship of Israel, there was a lot of murder and intrigue going on. 8. Ephraim, among peoples he mixeth himself. Ephraim hath been a cake unturned. The tribe of Ephraim is the tribe that Hosea lived among. So Ephraim keeps getting mentioned a lot in the book of Hosea because those were his people. Hosea is prophesying to them the most, that they are in big trouble with the Lord. By saying that Ephraim mixes himself, that means that people from the tribe of Ephraim were marrying pagan women and having children, and then their pagan wives were teaching their children paganism. They were mixing with the other nations, losing their heritage and their faith as Israelites. When it says that Ephraim is like a cake unturned, that's like a pancake when you only cook one side of the pancake and you don't flip it over in the pan. So it's saying you're only half baked. And this is probably where the phrase half baked came from. It's the Lord himself telling the tribe of Ephraim that it has no sense whatsoever, no spiritual sense and no practical sense. 9. Devoured have strangers his power, and he hath not known. Also, old age hath sprinkled itself on him, and he hath not known. The Lord is saying that Ephraim, metaphorically, is like an old man who doesn't even know he's old, and who's lost his power and doesn't even know that he's lost his power. Ephraim has given his strength to pagan gods and pagan women. Ephraim no longer has the faith and the spirit of a true Israelite. And this is talking about the entire tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is being personified as a prodigal son of the Lord. You know, when you sleep around, you lose your power. And when you spiritually sleep around, meaning that you're following all kinds of different false ideologies and false religions, you lose your spiritual power because you're spread too thin. And that's what the tribe of Ephraim has done. Instead of being one for the Lord, it has spread itself thin among all of the pagans and all of their false ideas. Ephraim is losing its identity. 10. And humbled hath been the excellency of Israel to his face, and they have not turned back unto Jehovah their God, nor have they sought him for all this. Even though the pagan nations would come and attack Israel off and on and take some cities or territory, Israel still never repented and turned to the Lord and said, "We're sorry, save us." They still kept continuing to sin and continuing to ignore God. 11. And Ephraim is as a simple dove without heart. Egypt they called on, to assure they have gone. Instead of calling out to the Lord and asking the Lord for help, the tribe of Ephraim called up the Egyptians and the Assyrians and said, "Hey, will you come and defend us against the Babylonians?" They made a big mistake. Never look to the world for help. Always look to God. Don't call your best friend to bail you out. Don't expect the government to make your life better. Call on the Lord. Apparently, a dove is a type of bird that you can easily capture. 12. When they go, I spread over them my net. As the fowl of the heavens, I bring them down. I chastise them as their company hath heard. The Lord says Ephraim is like a dove flying up in the sky, but he's going to catch it with his net very easily. That dove will not be able to get away from his wrath. He is going to chastise or discipline Ephraim for that tribe's sins. The Lord disciplines us because he loves us and he wants to lead us to repentance. So he lets us suffer the consequences of our sins so that we will stop sinning and we will be saved. It's better that he punishes us now than that we continue on our path of destruction and then on judgment day he has to punish us eternally in the fire of hell. So if he is punishing you now, then tell him thank you and repent. It isn't too late for you to repent as long as you're still alive. 13. Woe to them, for they wandered from me. Destruction to them, for they transgressed against me. And I ransomed them, and they have spoken lies against me. The Lord says that danger is coming to Ephraim. They wandered away from his commandments. They sinned against him. And he had already paid the price to ransom them from the pagan nations, but they spoke lies against him. He led his people out of Egypt. He rescued them time after time when they were battling the Canaanites to live in their new land that he had given them. And now the Ephraimites, like the other tribes of Israel, are honoring pagan gods and saying that those gods saved them when it was the one true Lord who saved them. They are lying about God and not giving him credit for what he has done. And on top of that, they also lie and say that he can't see their sin and that he doesn't care. 14. And have not cried unto me with their heart, but howl in their beds. For corn and new wine they assemble themselves. They turn aside against me. He says that the Ephraimites do not cry out to him from their heart, asking him for forgiveness and protection and blessings and salvation. They don't talk to him, but they're real quick to get together for a barbecue. If somebody calls a harvest party, then they're all in, and they'll go all out to go and have fun, but they won't take any time to pray. You know, there's Christians today who live this way. They go all out on the holidays, and they spend hundreds of dollars and get their family all dressed up and gathered together for good times. But they don't spend time talking to God and listen to his voice and follow him. 15. And I instructed, I strengthened their arms, and concerning me they think evil. Just like most sinners, the people of Ephraim and all of Israel were blaming God every time something went wrong, but all the blessings that they had were from God. A lot of people today are the same way. They instantly are angry with God when anything goes wrong, but whenever they're receiving blessings, they don't even take time to say thank you and acknowledge him. 16. They turn back, not to the Most High. They have been as a deceitful bow, fall by sword to their princes, from the insolence of their tongue. This is their derision in the land of Egypt. The Lord says that they retreat from the Lord. They don't retreat from their sin. It's the Lord that they turn their back on and walk away from. They're like a deceitful bow. And that means that it's like a man with a bow and arrow, but the bow is deceitful. It backfires on him. Or maybe a gun that backfires and shoots you instead of your opponent. Or the arrow comes back at you instead of going out at your opponent. They are deceitful toward the Lord. They come against him instead of being his tool to spread his glory in the world. They are deceitful toward him. And likewise, they are shooting themselves in the foot effectively with their own bow because their lifestyles are causing them pain. He says that they will fall by the sword. And the land of Egypt is actually going to mock and deride the people of Israel and the people of Ephraim. We already read about this in the book of Jeremiah, and I believe in the book of Ezekiel as well, that when the Israelites asked Egypt for help, Egypt never did help them against Babylon. And that concludes Hosea chapter 7.